We are on a journey pursuing a divine romance with Jesus Christ. What are some of the things that get in the way of that? Today we're going to look at that as we unpack Galatians chapter 2. Paul is addressing the spirit of legalism head on. What is legalism? How does legalism impact our heart and love relationship with Jesus Christ? If we have fallen into legalism, how do we get out of that trap? Listen in as we continue our journey pursuing intimacy with Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. Today is September 15th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the New Living Translation for the Old Testament and for the New Testament. Deuteronomy 27:11-26. That same day, Moses also gave his charge to the people. When you cross the Jordan River, the tribes of Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin must stand on Mount Gerizim to proclaim a blessing over the people. And the tribes of Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali must stand on Mount Ebal to proclaim a curse. Then the Levites will shout to all the people of Israel, "Cursed is anyone who carves or casts an idol and secretly sets it up. These idols, the work of craftsmen, are detestable to the Lord." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who dishonors father or mother." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who steals property from a neighbor by moving a boundary marker." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who leads a blind person astray on the road." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who denies justice to foreigners, orphans, or widows." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who has sexual intercourse with one of his father's wives, for he has violated his father." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who has sexual intercourse with an animal." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who has sexual intercourse with his sister, whether she is the daughter of his father or his mother." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who has sexual intercourse with his mother-in-law." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who attacks a neighbor in secret." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who accepts payment to kill an innocent person." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who does not affirm or obey the terms of these instructions." And all the people will reply, "Amen." Isaiah 19:1-21:17. This message came to me, Isaiah, concerning Egypt. "Look, the Lord is advancing against Egypt, riding on a swift cloud. The idols of Egypt tremble, the hearts of the Egyptians melt with fear. I will make the Egyptians fight against each other, brother against brother, neighbor against neighbor, city against city, province against province. The Egyptians will lose heart and I will confuse their plans. They will plead with their idols for wisdom. They will call on spirits, mediums, and psychics to show them which way to turn. I will hand Egypt over to a hard, cruel master, to a fierce king, says the Lord Almighty. The waters of the Nile will fail to rise and flood the fields. The riverbed will be parched and dry. The canals of the Nile will dry up, and the streams of Egypt will become foul with rotting reeds and rushes. All the greenery along the riverbank will wither and blow away. All the crops will dry up and everything will die. The fishermen will weep for lack of work. Those who fish with hooks and those who use nets will all be unemployed. The weavers will have no flax or cotton, for the crops will fail. The weavers and all the workers will be sick at heart. What fools are the counselors of Zoan? Their best counsel to the king of Egypt is stupid and wrong. Will they still boast of their wisdom? Will they dare tell Pharaoh about their long line of wise ancestors? What has happened to your wise counselors, Pharaoh? If they are so wise, let them tell you what the Lord Almighty is going to do to Egypt. The wise men from Zoan are fools, and those from Memphis are deluded. The leaders of Egypt have ruined the land with their foolish counsel. The Lord has sent a spirit of foolishness on them, so all their suggestions are wrong. They cause the land of Egypt to stagger like a sick drunkard. Nobody in Egypt, whether rich or poor, important or unknown, can offer any help. In that day, the Egyptians will be as weak as women. They will cower in fear beneath the upraised fist of the Lord Almighty. Just to speak the name of Israel will strike deep terror in their hearts, for the Lord Almighty has laid out his plans against them. In that day, five of Egypt's cities will follow the Lord Almighty. They will even begin to speak the Hebrew language. One of these will be Heliopolis, the city of the sun. In that day, there will be an altar to the Lord in the heart of Egypt, and there will be a monument to the Lord at its border. It will be a sign and a witness to the Lord Almighty in the land of Egypt. When the people cry to the Lord for help against those who oppress them, he will send them a Savior who will rescue them. In that day, the Lord will make himself known to the Egyptians. Yes, they will know the Lord and will give their sacrifices and offerings to him. They will make promises to the Lord and keep them. The Lord will strike Egypt in a way that will bring healing. For the Egyptians will turn to the Lord, and he will listen to their pleas and heal them. In that day, Egypt and Assyria will be connected by a highway. The Egyptians and Assyrians will move freely between their lands, and they will worship the same God. And Israel will be their ally. The three will be together, and Israel will be a blessing to them. For the Lord Almighty will say, "Blessed be Egypt, my people. Blessed be Assyria, the land I have made. Blessed be Israel, my special possession." In the year when King Sargon of Assyria captured the Philistine city of Ashdod, the Lord told Isaiah, son of Amos, "Take off all your clothes, including your sandals." Isaiah did as he was told and walked around naked and barefoot. Then the Lord said, "My servant Isaiah has been walking around naked and barefoot for the last 3 years. This is a sign, a symbol of the terrible troubles I will bring upon Egypt and Ethiopia. For the king of Assyria will take away the Egyptians and Ethiopians as prisoners. He will make them walk naked and barefoot, both young and old, their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. How dismayed will be the Philistines, who counted on the power of Ethiopia and boasted of their allies in Egypt. They will say, 'If this can happen to Egypt, what chance do we have? For we counted on Egypt to protect us from the king of Assyria.'" This message came to me concerning the land of Babylon. "Disaster is roaring down on you from the desert, like a whirlwind sweeping in from the Negev. I see an awesome vision. I see you plundered and destroyed. Go ahead, you Elamites and Medes, take part in the siege. Babylon will fall, and the groaning of all the nations she enslaved will end. My stomach aches and burns with pain. Sharp pangs of horror are upon me, like the pangs of a woman giving birth. I grow faint when I hear what God is planning. I am blinded with dismay. My mind reels, my heart races. The sleep I once enjoyed at night is now a faint memory. I lie awake, trembling. Look, they are preparing a great feast. They are spreading rugs for people to sit on. Everyone is eating and drinking. Quick, Grab your shields and prepare for battle. You are being attacked. Meanwhile, the Lord said to me, put a watchman on the city wall to shout out what he sees. Tell him to sound the alert when he sees chariots drawn by horses and warriors mounted on donkeys and camels. Then the watchman called out, day after day I have stood on the watchtower, my Lord. Night after night I have remained at my post. Now at last, look, here comes the chariots and warriors. Then the watchman said, Babylon is fallen. All the idols of Babylon lie broken on the ground. O my people, threshed and winnowed, I have told you everything the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, has said. This message came to me concerning Edom. Someone from Edom keeps calling to me, watchman, how much longer until morning? When will the night be over? The watchman replies, morning is coming, but night will soon follow. If you wish to ask again, then come back and ask. This message came to me concerning Arabia. O caravans from Dedan, hide in the deserts of Arabia. O people of Tema, bring food and water to these weary refugees. They have fled from drawn swords and sharp arrows and the terrors of war. But within a year, says the Lord, all the glory of Kedar will come to an end. Only a few of its courageous archers will survive. I, the Lord, the God of Israel, have spoken. Galatians 2:1-16. Then, 14 years later, I, Paul, went back to Jerusalem again, this time with Barnabas, and Titus came along too. I went there because God revealed to me that I should go. While I was there, I talked privately with the leaders of the church. I wanted them to understand what I had been preaching to the Gentiles. I wanted to make sure they did not disagree, or my ministry would have been useless. And they did agree. They did not even demand that my companion Titus be circumcised, though he was a Gentile. Even that question wouldn't have come up except for some so-called Christians there, false ones really, who came to spy on us and see our freedom in Jesus Christ. They wanted to force us, like slaves, to follow their Jewish regulations. But we refused to listen to them for a single moment. We wanted to preserve the truth of the good news for you. And the leaders of the church who were there had nothing to add to what I was preaching. By the way, their reputation as great leaders made no difference to me, for God has no favorites. They saw that God had given me the responsibility of preaching the good news to the Gentiles, just as he had given Peter the responsibility of preaching to the Jews. For the same God who worked through Peter for the benefit of the Jews worked through me for the benefit of the Gentiles. In fact, James, Peter, and John, who were known as pillars of the church, recognized the gift God had given me, and they accepted Barnabas and me as their co-workers. They encouraged us to keep preaching to the Gentiles while they continued their work with the Jews. The only thing they suggested was that we remember to help the poor, and I have certainly been eager to do that. But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him publicly, speaking strongly against what he was doing, for it was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile Christians who don't bother with circumcision. But afterward, when some Jewish friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore because he was afraid of what these legalists would say. Then the other Jewish Christians followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was influenced to join them in their hypocrisy. When I saw that they were not following the truth of the good news, I said to Peter in front of all the others, since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you trying to make these Gentiles obey the Jewish laws you abandoned? You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles. And yet, we Jewish Christians know that we become right with God not by doing what the law commands, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be accepted by God because of our faith in Christ, and not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be saved by obeying the law. Psalm 59:1-17. Rescue me from my enemies, O God. Protect me from those who have come to destroy me. Rescue me from these criminals. Save me from these murderers. They have set an ambush for me. Fierce enemies are out there waiting, though I have done them no wrong, O Lord. Despite my innocence, they prepare to kill me. Rise up and help me. Look on my plight. O Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, rise up to punish hostile nations. Show no mercy to wicked traitors. They come at night snarling like vicious dogs as they prowl the streets. Listen to the filth that comes from their mouths, the piercing swords that fly from their lips. Who can hurt us? They sneer. But Lord, you laugh at them. You scoff at all the hostile nations. You are my strength. I wait for you to rescue me. For you, O God, are my place of safety. In his unfailing love, my God will come and help me. He will let me look down in triumph on all my enemies. Don't kill them, for my people soon forget such lessons. Stagger them with your power and bring them to your knees, O Lord, our shield. Because of the sinful things they say, because of the evil that is on their lips, let them be captured by their pride, their curses, and their lies. Destroy them in your anger. Wipe them out completely. Then the whole world will know that God reigns in Israel. My enemies come out at night, snarling like vicious dogs. As they prowl the streets, they scavenge for food, but go to sleep unsatisfied. But as for me, I will sing about your power. I will shout with joy each morning because of your unfailing love. For you have been my refuge, a place of safety in the day of distress. O my strength, to you I sing praises. For you, O God, are my refuge, the God who shows me unfailing love. Proverbs 23:13-14. Don't fail to correct your children. They won't die if you spank them. Physical discipline may well save them from death. I'd like to speak to you today from our reading from Galatians chapter 2. And Paul is railing against and pushing back against a spirit of hypocrisy and also legalism. So the ancient Jewish religion, which carried forward even all the way to today, they have the oral law, and that's separate or different from the written scriptures that we read from the Old Testament. The oral law is supposedly more of revelation of what Moses got from God at Mount Sinai. But this oral law, which they later wrote it all down, the Talmud, the Mishnah, all of that, a lot of it is just religious edicts coming from the mind and the heart of man, and it actually violates scripture. And Jesus had strong words. He gave a lot of strong pushback against the Pharisees, who were very legalistic in their approach. So one of the oral law traditions was that if you were Jewish, you could not have table fellowship with a Gentile. You could not invite them into your home and have a meal with them because they were pagans. They were uncircumcised. And it was against the oral law or the tradition of man for Jews to open up their home for table fellowship to the Gentiles. But then, of course, Peter had his vision with the sheet coming down from heaven with all kinds of unclean animals. And three times that he saw this vision and he heard the voice of God saying, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." And this was not about food. This was about that the Gentiles were viewed as unclean. And the very next, after the vision was over, three men came to him and brought him to the house of Cornelius. And all of a sudden now, the Gentiles are getting saved. They're getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And so basically, Paul understood that this gospel now is not just for the Jewish people, but it's for all people. And that they could have table fellowship with Gentiles. And so he's railing and pushing back against Peter, because Peter would go to the home of a Gentile and have a meal with him or her. But then as soon as the Jews came into town, he stopped having fellowship with the Gentiles in their home and having meals with them. Peter would not eat with the Gentiles anymore because he was afraid of what these legalists would say. So this spirit of legalism leads to hypocrisy. Legalism is following the rule book, doing it mechanically, by rote, by ritual, and there's no heart relationship. It excludes. It tends to be judgmental. I'm better than you. I'm more spiritual than you. I'm more holy than you. And the letter of the law kills, but the spirit of the law brings life. So how do we combat this spirit of legalism that Paul is addressing in the book of Galatians? I want to share with you a chapter from a wonderful, wonderful book. It's a classic. It's written by Jean Edwards. It's called The Divine Romance. And this would be chapter 17. And this chapter really captures the essence of what it really means to have intimacy with Jesus Christ. We get lost and we go off in rabbit trails in our pursuit of Christ and trying to follow him. And we go down dead ends. And this really shows you what the one true pathway is for intimacy with Jesus Christ. This shows you what it's not and what it is. Chapter 17 from The Divine Romance. As the great throng broke up, the words of Moses still ringing in ears and hearts, the people returned thoughtfully to their tents. So, quick background. This is right after the law has been given. Moses came down from the mountain, from Mount Sinai, and shared the Ten Commandments with the people. And now the people are returning to their tents and pondering and reflecting on what they have heard. And as they gathered in those dwellings, they shared their hearts. Among one family of the tribe of Levi, there occurred this conversation. Oh, Father, I do love him. I wish to serve him. This very day, I shall speak with Aaron. I wish to devote my whole life to serving our wonderful Lord, his dwelling, and his people. A short distance away, a wife turned to her husband, searching his face for a moment, and then spoke her heart. O husband, in Egypt, ours was a lot far easier than most of our countrymen, and the gifts given to us upon our departure were no small things for either slave or free. I see in your eyes that your thoughts are mine. Our God is so gracious, so kind, and we do love him with all our hearts. All that we have of silver and gold, let us give to him. Quick and eager was the husband's response. Yes, with the heart of love, let us give him such as we have. And in another tribe, far distant from the Levites, a group of fervent young men spoke in grave and measured words. It is agreed. Today, here and now, we make a solemn vow to our Lord and to one another. We will forever obey the voice of our God. What he speaks, we will do. Always. Whatever he asks, be it a small thing or be it our very lives, we will obey the voice of the Lord. If he speaks in the silent places of our hearts or in the hearing of our ears, or be it to Moses that he should speak, his demand shall instantly be our will, as long as breath is in us. 'Tis not enough, broke in another. Prayer. Let us covenant to pray, to be men of prayer, upon our knees, seeking his face, allowing him to search our hearts. Yes, and asking for power to do his will in hours of need and crisis. As they spoke of these things, an elder of the tribe rushed by hurriedly, seeking out the other leaders of his tribe. Having found them, he spoke in fervent terms. This we must do. Tomorrow, let our tribe assemble. Let us come with our cymbals and trumpets. Behold, here in my hand already a song has been written by one of our youth. 'Tis a psalm exhorting us to extol the ways of our God. Let us take this song and other psalms of praise. Let us render them unto our Lord and fall down upon our faces and worship him together. Eagerly, the elders agreed, surely there is no better way to show our love for our God than to pour out our worship before him. By nightfall, the great rock upon which Moses had spoken was vacant, except for one lone figure. Unobserved by all, he had been there listening to Moses recount to the people his very own message to them. Afterward, he had walked among his people, listening intently to their every word. A deep sadness now disturbed the face of the Lord, for he was contemplating the response he had heard from his people. A long, deep groan of sorrow, unheard by human ears, but shattering the tranquility of the entire heavenly host, rose up from his depths. I did not require of you your wealth, nor coins of gold. What need have I of these? I did not ask of you that you serve me. Do I, the mighty one, need to be waited upon? Neither did I ask of you your worship, nor your prayers, nor even your obedience. He paused. Once more a long, mournful groan rose from his breast. I have asked but this of you, that you love me, love me, love me. That's chapter 17 from the Divine Romance. I want to close now with a prayer from a book called Praying with Smith Wigglesworth, written by Larry Kefauver. And we have a quote from Wigglesworth, a scripture, and then an actual prayer. In the words of Wigglesworth, let us repent of everything that is hindering us. Let us give place to God. Let us have no self-righteousness, but let us have brokenness, humbleness, and submittedness. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Luke 4, verse 18. Losing self in him. Lord, break my heart with your love. I repent of being unloving. Lord, break my heart with your righteousness. I repent of self-righteousness. Lord, break my heart with your humility. I repent of my pride. Lord, break my heart with your submission. I repent of my rebellion. Thus broken, then mend my heart, O thou healer of the brokenhearted. Have a blessed day, and we will see you tomorrow. Shalom.
Anavilaka vikuneka Isa Adonai Anavilaka Vayasenleka Leka
The Aaronic Blessing from Numbers chapter 6, 24.
to 26. Adonai bless you and keep you. Adonai make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Adonai lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.